At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. The Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got Coming Around Again with Billboard.com Senior Associate Editor Andrew Unterberger. Andrew will be talking about the 10th anniversary of the big Kanye West versus 50 Cent sales showdown this week back in 2007. Andrew will be talking with Billboard.com's hip-hop editor Karl Lamar about their memories of the big showdown, how Kanye and 50's albums Graduation and Curtis hold up a decade later, and what two artists could have an equivalent battle in 2017. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit itunes.com/billboardpodcasts. So, a lot was made of the Kanye versus 50 Cent battle when they dropped their albums Graduation and Curtis on September 11th, 2007. But did you know that there was another superstar that dropped an album that very same day? Kenny Chesney! He released his album Just Who I Am, Poets and Pirates, the same day as Graduation and Curtis. And Kenny ultimately debuted at number 3 on the Billboard 200 chart, behind Graduation and Curtis. And, you know, Kenny did pretty all right himself in the sales department, as the album started with 387,000 copies sold. That is a really big number. And turns out, the set became his 6th top 10 album on the Billboard 200 chart. At this point, Kenny now has 13 top 10 albums, and if you were wondering, Kanye has 8 top 10s, and 50 Cent has 6 top 10 albums. So, let's get into the Kanye versus 50 Cent discussion on Coming Around Again.
Hello, and welcome to Coming Around Again, Billboard's anniversary-themed podcast celebrating anniversaries in the music world. This week, we got flashback to the heavyweight showdown of 2007, and that's Kanye West versus 50 Cent. Here to discuss with us, we got our Billboard hip-hop editor, Karl Lamar, making his Billboard podcast debut. What's up, Karl?
Hello, hello. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks for coming on with me.
Thank you for having me.
And so this was, you know, the September 11th, 2007, so it was right. A date that I think Every music fan remembers to some extent. Third album's coming out from both 50 Cent and Kanye West. Curtis and Graduation. You know, the release dates. I think it was a coincidence that they ended up being on the same date. But once they settled into it, you know, Kanye was like, "I'm cool with it. If he's cool with it," and then 50 Cent just kind of took it and ran with it. Mm-hmm. So I think that everybody who was involved with, you know, in music media or just like a hip-hop fan at the time, you know, they have their own memories associated with it. What are your kind of memories of that week?
Man, I was a freshman at Howard University.
All right.
And in the back of my mind, I really thought that 50 was going to just destroy Kanye.
Really?
I did, because I was a huge 50 fan at the time. I was also a Kanye fan, but if you look at it, 50's resume, I go all the way back to Mixtape 50,
sure,
Power of a Dollar 50. He just had a streak, a competitive streak, and nobody could stop him at the time. So I really thought that 50 had a good chance of taking him down. I Get Money was huge on the campus.
Sure.
So a lot of my friends, especially from New York, we had a strong inkling that 50 would be able to destroy Kanye. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, I think they forget looking back at it, but like at the time, like 50 Cent, he was reaching levels that like nobody in hip hop had ever reached before.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, he had a classic album, Get Rich, the opus right there. The Massacre, I think he did 8.5 on that, 1.4 week one.
Yeah, and in like a short week too.
He only had three days.
That's what I had forgotten about. He had like he sold over 1 million in 4 days. And
there
that's,
you go.
That's pretty insane. That you know, I think that maybe people didn't. You know, the reception of that album wasn't quite as strong as it was for Get Rich, but right. You know, Candy Shop was the number one, just a little bit, Disco Inferno. Certainly, yeah. Like, he was still like, you know, as bulletproof, not literally bulletproof, of course, but commercially bulletproof as anybody in hip hop at the time. But
you know,
but
yeah,
by the time Graduation, you know, Kanye West, obviously, you know, he had number one hits, he had had major albums, and he had actually beaten 50 for the best rap album at the Grammys, I think, a couple years earlier. So he was certainly on that level too. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised by what kind of reception Graduation got?
No, because I was a huge College Dropout fan. Mm-hmm. To me, College Dropout is Kanye's best body of work.
All right.
You know, so he came with College Dropout and then Late Registration. He was 2 for 2 in my eyes. So despite him bringing emo rap, I did think he had a solid chance of being a good competitor to take out 50. And then he just trounced him. He destroyed him. 957,000 copies.
Yeah, unbelievable
number. Yeah, that's just insane. But, you know, that just, you know, it went on to show that gangster rap was just on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
And then emo rap was coming in.
Yeah, I remember like there were quotes from 50 at the time saying like, you know, that he was basically saying like, I was so popular that like the next guy that came along, they just wanted somebody that was different from me, like in any way.
Right.
And that ended up being Kanye, obviously, who, you know, was less conventional with the masculinity and, you know, a little bit more diverse with his music, but definitely less in like the traditional hip hop mold than 50. The
pink now, polos. Yeah.
It's a long time ago at this point. But right. Like, so when the actual albums came out, did you have a preference between the two?
It was easily Graduation by a landslide. Mm-hmm. By a landslide. Production, the lyricism. For me, like I said, in contrast to the last two albums, I think Kanye rose the bar lyrically for himself on Graduation. And then Curtis, I feel like 50 just had a sharp decline lyrically, production, everything. I think when he had a couple of singles he was just throwing out there and they were just failing miserably at the time.
Yeah, I remember that at the time where it was like you would see a video for a new one and then like you would hear like a different song on the radio and be like, wait a minute.
Straight to the bank. And then he tried amusement park.
Yeah, just not hitting on the same level. But
I
had forgotten until, you know, I think we'd had a freelancer for Billboard did a really cool interview with an engineer on the album. His name was Anthony Kilhofer, I think.
Yeah.
Pointed out that there were like 5 big singles off of Graduation, which I remembered one or two of them, but I had forgotten that all these were on the same album. That's Can't Tell Me Nothing, Stronger, Good Life, Flashing Lights, and Homecoming. Homecoming, maybe, you know, the odd one out of that bunch, maybe not like the classic that the others are, but like those are 4 unbelievable singles.
Can't Tell Me Nothing to this day. You play it anywhere at any time and people will just go crazy. No, lyric for lyric, word for word, with no problem. When I saw Kanye performing at the Meadows last year, it was just a thunderous performance.
Yeah, and that song, like I've always looked to that song as like if you want to kind of encapsulate like what made Kanye the man, like especially in 2007, like I don't know if it's his best song, but that's the song that you go to.
Oh yeah, definitely. The swagger was there. Everything was there for that record.
Were you a fan of Stronger? That was kind of Kanye going in a different sort of, you know, EDM.
I loved it because I think, and that's the beauty of Graduation, the fact that he was able to stretch the boundaries.
Sure.
And do it with such confidence, especially I think he flipped Daft Punk for Stronger.
Yeah, Harder, so Better, Faster, Stronger.
To take that risk and just deliver an incredible track like that, I was a huge fan of that. I'm a huge fan of artists taking risk, so for him to do that.
And this was certainly Kanye on this album. And I think it kind of... This is like the first album where he does sort of start to go in that like electronic direction. He starts to go in a little more of an emotional direction. And like it stands out from the first two, but it kind of points the way to where he was going, you know, especially with 808s and Heartbreak. I kind of see it as like the midpoint album for his career.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, it's still got a lot of that that heavy lyricism of the first two albums, but yeah, he's starting to push himself sonically. He's starting to get interesting guests and stuff like that. So but besides those five singles, are there any kind of like deeper cuts on the album, ones that maybe take you by surprise when you listen to it now?
Champion, to this day, Champion. The gusto, just everything, the confidence, the swagger. I love the sample. I think that was a Steely Dan sample.
Steely Dan, shout out to the late Walter Becker.
Right, there you go. That, I Wonder, that's another classic track. Mm-hmm. A lot of the younger artists I spoke to, they always flash back to I Wonder.
Yeah.
And how that track kind of just catapulted them into rap. So, I Wonder, Champion, Barry Bonds, Lil Wayne.
Underrated Lil Barry Wayne. Bonds.
Yeah, and very underrated.
You got to love just any song in 2007, like shouting out for Barry Bonds. That's a flashback.
Exactly.
Right,
minus the steroids, but I still love Barry.
So, yeah, you mentioned that you did this article, which I really enjoyed reading.
Thank you.
Where you talk to a bunch of younger rappers, thinking at the Made in America Fest, asking them to kind of shout out their favorite graduation songs, their memories for it. Were there any answers that like really stuck with you? Is interesting? Or?
I think Kyle, Super Duper Kyle.
Yeah, we're still not sure which one he's going with.
He said it's Kyle. I'm sorry. He said it's whatever you want to go with.
Right. Like
depending on the day.
Okay. Yeah. It's whichever like fits your mood of Kyle at that
particular
time.
Exactly. He's a big anime guy. So he said if you watch Dragon Ball Z, Super Duper Kyle's him going Super Saiyan.
Okay.
So, but I would say, yeah, I definitely would say Kyle because I think 10 years back he was maybe 14. And he was saying at the time he was getting drunk with his friends, sipping on wine coolers.
Classic 14-year-old.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
And they were just playing I Wonder. And from then on, that kind of gave him the inspiration he needed to pursue music and to pursue rap. Mm-hmm. And Nick Grant was another one who vividly remembered the moment Kanye performed Big Brother on 106 in Park.
Sure, yeah.
He got everything down pat as far as like what he was wearing. Him, Jay-Z coming on stage after Big Brother to perform Encore. So a lot of these new wave MCs, they have a fond appreciation for a graduation 10 years later.
Yeah, and that's what really struck me reading the piece is that, like, you know, sometimes you talk to younger artists about stuff that happened 10, 20 years ago.
Right.
And, like, they maybe have, like, a vague memory of it, and they're like, oh, is that the one with this song on or whatever? But, like, no, it seems like everybody you talk to, like, they have these, like, really vivid recollections.
Yeah, some of them who weren't able to make the cut.
Well, they didn't make the final article.
Exactly. Yeah. That didn't make the final article. They struggled as far as they were saying, hey, is that the one where Stacey Dash was in the video?
Oof, yeah. Two albums off.
Exactly. So, I mean, but then again, these kids are 18, 19, so I gave them the benefit of the doubt. But
sure.
Artists like Nick, Kyle, Vic, they were able to do their due diligence and go back.
Yeah, and those are the guys you'd expect to be able to kind of pinpoint those very specific Kanye moments.
Exactly.
Like if they can't like recall those pretty quickly and pretty like vividly, then I don't know who would be able to.
Exactly.
But you mentioned Big Brother, and that's one song that I wanted to give a special shout out to because
yeah.
I don't know, like that was the song that really stung me the first time I listened to it. You know, obviously Kanye, he's never been a particularly guarded dude. He's always kind of put stuff out there, but like it's like the hurt in that song.
The vulnerability, yeah.
Yeah, the vulnerability is just like even for Kanye, it was really striking to me at the time, like
right.
Like and like it's kind of petty in a way that like most hip-hop artists wouldn't let themselves be at that time.
Right.
He talks about like, "Oh, I had a song with Coldplay, then Jay had a song with Coldplay." And his song with Coldplay is actually on the album,
yeah.
But like yeah, that song and the synths are so good. I love that one. And like, even though it's kind of gotten a bum rap and sort of deservedly so, I do want to shout out Drunken Hot Girls, which is like a very stupid song. I don't think anyone would argue about that.
But it worked. It worked.
Yeah, it's got this weird kind of like slurred and like nauseous feeling to it, and like it goes on forever. Like,
right.
It's the longest song on the album, but it shouldn't work. But I don't know, something about it, the can sample, it's so weird. It's such a bizarre song to be like the centerpiece of the album, but I have a soft spot in my heart for it. I'm not even sure
I get it. I mean, I think the features were definitely underrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his ability to tap on Mose. I think Mose was on two tracks. He got Premier to do the scratches for Everything I Am.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, yeah, and then to tap T-Pain for that was a hell of a hook for Good Life.
Good Life, that's a classic for sure. That's the one song. Like, I don't think you need to know. Like some of the songs on this album, like they sound better in the context of the album,
right.
Or like you know you need to know what's going on in Kanye's career up to that point. But like Good Life, that's a timeless song.
Sure.
Put that on anytime, anywhere, like that that'll get it moving.
And then the sample itself, the PYT sample,
sure, yeah.
Which I found out years later,
because it's not even like the main hook of the song. so song discreet, samples. Yeah. It's this little kind of squeaking outro to the end of it. Like, what an ear to like hear that and be able to make it like such a like a classic hook around it. It's unbelievable. So you know, we talked mostly about Graduation here. Curtis, like, even though, you know, we talked about definitely not strongest album, and definitely sort of represented the beginning of the end for him in terms of like being one of the guys in hip hop, still did 691,000 first week. And we were talking about this because it was something I wrote a couple days ago. Like, that's the best sales week that any artist has ever had and not been number one. And it also would be like if he did 691,000 this year, that would be the best sales week that anyone had this year.
Which was interesting because I was thinking after I read your piece, is Curtis a good album, a standalone by itself? Had it not, you know, go one-on-one with Kanye that day, would people have destroyed it?
Yeah, it's certainly did itself no favors by you know, going up against a guy who clearly his artistry was on another level and it was still improving, whereas 50 Cent, like, he was good at what he was good at.
Exactly.
But he didn't really want to stretch himself in those ways, and, you know, he was maybe getting a little lazy with some of his beats and hooks. But again, like you know, you mentioned I Get Money. That's a classic single, I think most people would say. Ayo Technology, the first single with Timbaland and Justin Timberlake. Yeah. Not maybe... I mean, no one's going to confuse.
I think it was the top five on the Hot 100. Yeah,
it was. And you know, that was a hit. That was a good song. Are there any other songs on that album you want to shout out as maybe being a little underappreciated in retrospect?
He had the song with, I think it was All of Me with Mary J. Blige.
Yeah,
that was a good song. Come and Go with Dr. Dre. Just it was a nostalgic feel just to hear him and Dre on a track together.
Yeah, you didn't get those Dre beats or Dre verses anywhere in 2007.
That's what I'm saying. So just to have him even on the hook, I'll take that. But 50, he had a lot of misses, man. Peep Show was a miss.
Yeah. The Eminem verse on Peep Show. even by 2007 Eminem standards, he was definitely not like spitting fire those
days. Lackluster with a capital L. I think they had Fire with Young Buck and the girl from the Pussycat Dolls, Nicole
Scherzinger. Yeah,
that was another dud.
Yeah, certainly enough duds to go around there.
Right.
I do love Straight to the Bank just because I like his like rich guy laugh. He's like,
I always gave me a feel of wanting to play Monopoly.
Yeah, I don't even know why that is. I guess that it's his kind of like oral impersonation of Monopoly guy's voice. If you can hear what he sounds like.
Right.
Also, Give It Up for I'll Still Kill.
That was Cold a great beat. Record. That Good was a hook. Great record. Follow My Lead was another underappreciated track. I would say.
Amusement Park.
Yeah,
not cutting it. I don't know.
It was weird because I remember distinctly like he was dropping videos. It was Straight to the Bank. It just faltered.
Right.
Then it was Amusement Park tanked, and he was just trying to throw anything out there that would stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last one, it was AO Technology, and then I Get Money, and then I Still Kill. Things were starting to pick up a little bit, but it was too late.
The
a little too late.
Never really recaptured that.
A little too late.
And I think you kind of alluded to earlier, and certainly a lot of other people have kind of, you know, theorized that this might have been the moment where New York kind of lost the center of hip hop. Is that fair to lay at Curtis's feet, or is that kind of overstated?
I mean, you got to think about it. I think Jay dropped the Black Album 2003, and then he took a good hiatus. It was 50 from 03.
Sure, yeah.
To 07, that was really taking over New York. And after that, Jay came back, Kingdom Come,
Diplomats were fading a little
bit. Blueprint 3 was a good album to me. And if you're talking maybe, it was tough. A$AP Rocky came out 2013?
Early this decade, sure.
So it was hard to find that distinct king a la 50 that was really taking over the city and the tri-state.
Do you see that happening again?
With the caliber of artists out now, no.
Or is it just a thing of like people being too kind of locked into a past image of New York and the kind of very traditional boom bap MC? Or is like is the next New York guy or girl like just going to be someone completely out of the mold, you think?
I think so, especially with hip hop where it's going right now. I appreciate the boom bap.
Sure.
I come from the boom bap era. I love a Joey Badass. I love what Action Bronson was able to do with Blue Chips.
But those dudes are throwback dudes, basically.
Yeah, throwback dudes.
You hear
dudes,
them,
exactly.
They evoke a time and place, but it's not this time and place.
And, you know, a lot of New York artists, what they tend to do, they have a tendency of trying to sound like other areas of down south. A Fabulous, he'll sound a little bit like he's from Atlanta. A French Montana.
He'll ride the wave. Yeah. Those dudes, they'll ride the wave wherever.
Exactly. They're good, you know, in their own right, but I can't count on them to hold down a tri-state area.
Sure.
So it's tough. They're going to have to come with a whole different style and appeal.
And 50 himself, like, do you ever see him kind of having a comeback moment? I mean, he's still visible because he's got, you know, business deals, he's got TV shows, but, like, the music has just not been there for him. Like, do you see him having, like, maybe, like, a, you know, 444 type moment, or is that just... is it just past the point of no return?
You know what it is? I tried to give 50 a chance on Animal Ambition.
I forgot that album even came out, by the way. I was looking at his discography page.
You know what it is? And I think I was talking to Dan about it, and I appreciate that album. It's good to an extent. It would have been good 2008.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his problem, I think, now is his ear for production. He's kind of dated.
It was never that sharp in the first place. Right. I mean, he had help, obviously. You know, he had Dre, some other big names. You know, Timbaland on the first single of this album. But you're right that, like, when he kind of goes to his own guys, the beats kind of tend to be, you know, uninspired, a little heavy sounding, not really anything that really moves the needle for him. But maybe it's just the question of finding his own No Idea, like the guy who can kind of get locked in with him and get nice chemistry developed and maybe come up with something a little bit, you know, more personal, a little bit more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's something I'd like to see, because I think the 50 Cent's an interesting guy, and I think that he has maybe like one shot left in him.
I think he's just completely over hip hop at this point. He's doing 50 Central.
He's in that business mode now, I guess.
I would love to, like you said, I would love to see him do one more album, but it's really important for him to grab the right producer to just pull it out of him.
So do you have an idea for that? You have somebody that you want to recommend? I think if he is listening.
I would say Dr. Dre, but that's
that'd be a good one.
He's in his own headspace right now. So yeah. He's in his own world.
And, like, looking back now, I mean, it's the internet's favorite thing to do. They'll do it, you know, any excuse to rank Kanye albums. Right. But where does Graduation fall in the Kanye hierarchy for you?
Definitely top three.
Okay.
I'm still sticking with College Dropout 1. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then Graduation 3. Sometimes I'll switch 2 and 3, depending on the day.
Okay.
But College Dropout is just supreme in my eyes.
It's actually number one for me. Maybe it's kind of like the inner contrarian in me. I don't know. Mm. But, like, you know, it's the one album that doesn't seem to have that obvious place in Kanye's discography, right, where, like, it doesn't say anything about you as a Kanye fan to rep for Graduation, whereas, you know, if you're making a statement if you say, like, oh, Yeezus or 808s or even College Dropout.
I never was able to get to listen to Yeezus. I just couldn't. It didn't work for me.
It was definitely, like, a little bit too far in that direction
it was a little too far left.
But like, Graduation's right in that middle for me. Like, it's not. It doesn't make you feel like it's not as dated to a time and place for me. I don't know. Maybe, you know, College Dropout, I love that album, but I hear it and it sounds like 2003, 2004 to me.
Right.
But Graduation, I don't know. I feel like it's aged better than some people give it credit for. I don't know. So I've enjoyed listening to it again this last week and preparing for this podcast. And it's a really interesting moment in time, I think. And I was thinking about it, how, like, this was one of the last, like, big moments in hip hop and in music media where it's, like, before Twitter, like, really took over the discourse, and before, like, you know, think pieces and kind of the content era. So it was nice to be able to actually, like, kind of sit back and just kind of watch the fight. Like,
right.
Like, today, you know, you'd be having to come up with, like, takes, and you'd be debating on Twitter for you know, exhausting, weeks and months.
Yeah.
But, like, this was kind of a sort of I don't know if a pure moment, but it was just like a fun moment, I think.
Oh, I agree. I mean, 50 was always the entertainer.
Sure. He's like the Carnival Barker kind of hype man.
Exactly. So he thrived in that arena. I'm just curious to see if at this point in time in 2017, if we'll be able to ever have something of that kind of battle again.
Yeah, I mean, even if they did it, like, would they do it in terms of, like, first week sales? I feel like the playing field has changed so much these days that I don't even know if these artists would really consider that to be, like, the ultimate fight. And maybe it would be, like, I don't know.
I think it depends on who.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it depends on who.
So, like, if you had to choose, like, two rappers right now that could kind of have that sort of thing where, like, one person represents, like, the old vanguard and one kind of presents the new wave and they're just sort of on equal footing, do you have, like, a you have a heavyweight bout in mind for that?
I would say, just because contrasting styles, Drake and Kendrick.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good call, I think. And it's two guys where everyone sort of has an opinion. And,
right.
And, like, there's no obvious front runner between the two of them at this point.
I honestly can't say I would not know who would win that battle.
Yeah, no, we'd have to wait and see.
It's hard.
So hopefully we'll be on this podcast 10 years from now talking about Drake versus Kendrick.
That would be epic. Yeah. That would be epic.
All right, Karl Amar, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, sir. Right. I appreciate it.